Move on. Report and possible discussion on the retirement plan split and restatement by Monica Willis.
Actually, Lydia Barton will be making the presentation, but I wanted to introduce her. You may recall at the last committee meeting, y'all said that we could go out and find some professional assistance to split the plans, get them submitted to the IRS, run them through the process to where hopefully we'll be able to take the DC and disperse it to the employees at some point. So between the meetings, we've hired Lydia Barton, who is our attorney and is helping us with the plan split. And she will talk a few minutes, you know, letting you know so far what she's only been working probably with us for about a month, I think. Maybe not even quite that long. So, but she's had time to review our current plan, our situation, where we are, and what maybe it will take to get us to be able to submit to the IRS. Ready?
Would you mind if I say hey?
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lydia Barton. I'm from Austin, Texas. I got out of law school about the time that ERISA was passed, and I've been doing employee benefit work as an associate and then partner at Great Starting Heron and Moody in Austin for 21 years, and have been on my own with just an employee benefits practice with another couple of lawyers from time to time for about 12 years. And when I got the call from Brazos River Authority, I came up and kind of did a little presentation and gave them references, which they have checked. And then we were selected, and we've entered into an engagement agreement with Brazos River Authority. And what I found when I came up here is that Monica and her group had decided that it was best to try to structure the benefit programs so that you had one class of employees rather than two classes of employees, with some grandfathered people with greater benefits that presented employee issues. And also she had a goal of simplifying the program and making it more efficient to administer. And what the only plan that I was asked to deal with is the retirement plan. And the retirement plan has been around since about 59, and it was a traditional defined benefit plan where you got just this big pot of money and there's a benefit formula, and each participant, when they terminate employment, is entitled to basically an income stream for life, beginning at age 65, and they can kind of convert that to different kinds of income streams and maybe start a little earlier than 65 if they've met certain requirements. The defined benefit plan, which this was until 1997, has some issues with it from an investment perspective, because it's the employer that bears all the risk of the investments, and when the markets go down, depending upon how the plan is invested, you know, the employer takes on a bigger obligation, but the employer is always obligated to provide that income stream. In 1997, there was a study done by the Rudd & Wisdom actuarial firm out of Austin. They're a very good firm, and what it was, they kind of decided to split the baby at that point. They had this traditional defined benefit plan up until 97. And in 97, they said, okay, employees who are here right now, you can elect to stay in that traditional defined benefit plan, which had a fairly generous formula benefit and had a 15-year vesting schedule. But employees who are coming on new are not going to have that traditional defined benefit plan. They are going to have a plan that had a traditional defined benefit element in it with an income stream, you know, beginning at age 65, basically, on a lesser income stream, a lesser formula. The formula under the new deal for new hires after 97, basically, was 1% of average monthly comp times years of service. And in addition to that defined benefit element in this new plan design that came into play in 97. There was a defined contribution component to it where each new hire was required to contribute 3% of comp. And because they were required, although a governmental organization could not at that point have established a 401k plan, it was done as an employer pickup plan so that the required 3% of comp that went in out of the employee's paycheck was done as what they call a governmental pickup contribution, which is a fancy way of saying that the employee gets to make that contribution on a pre-tax basis. So we've got DB element, DC element. There are three parts of the DB defined contribution element in this plan. The 3% required employee pre-tax pickup contribution is the first element. The second element is a required 3% of pay contribution that's made by BRA into this plan. And the third element is a matching contribution. And the way that is done is it was structured so that you take a look at the pre-tax contributions that an employee elects on a totally voluntary basis to put into the eligible 457B plan that's separate and apart from this. And in this plan, as the third element of the defined contribution program, the Brazos River Authority matches 50 cents on the dollar up to the first 6% of comp that the employee defers into that 457B plan. So you've got this thing rolling along, and it's a fairly complicated structure. You've got the old employees who elected into the old deal. You've got the new employees who have just this DC plus DB thing. And then you've got the employees who were there at the time of the conversion, and they were able to elect into the old deal, or they were able to elect into the new deal. And if they elected into the new deal, they've got this little, what they call this transition benefit, that's laid on top of their 1% of pay times years of service, basically, plus these three defined contribution elements. And that transition benefit is you look at it when they terminate, or in this case, when you froze all these benefits, and you say, what would they have had under the old formula? Go, okay, they would have had $100 a month for life. And you subtract out of that what they've got under the new formula, and you subtract out of that what annuity they could have purchased with these defined contribution, two of the three defined contribution elements. And if they would have been better over the under the old formula minus these offsets, they get a little sliver of an additional benefit. And as I understand from Monica, there are about fewer than 10 people who are in this transition. Okay, 12 or 13 people who are in this transition. So that takes us to 97. And from 97 until 2007, you operated this, you know, double wide plan with this DCB element and this DC element and different kinds of benefits from different employees. And I think after 10 years, I gather that the board just threw up its hands and said, we've had about all the fun we can have with this. Let's freeze these benefits. And so in 2007, the board, I gather, took action to just freeze those benefits. They stopped benefit accruals under the defined benefit formulas, and they stopped having employees contribute and Brazos River contribute to the DC part of the plan. And even though they froze the defined benefit accruals, it's still an existing defined benefit plan that's still out there. and the Brazos River Authority is still on the hook to make sure that they have enough money to pay all these benefits as they come due. In connection with freezing the defined benefit element of this double wide plan and, you know, ceasing contributions, in lieu of this plan that you've been operating for 10 years in this manner, as I understand it, you went over to the TCDC plan.
TCDRS, Texas County District Retirement System.
You went over to that plan, and that's where your current benefits are accruing at this point. And I haven't been asked to look at that plan or your 457 plans. I've just been asked to look at this retirement plan that was frozen in 07. And what the what Monica's group and maybe the retirement committee had decided that they wanted to do made a lot of sense. What they would like to do is they would like to make sure that both elements of this plan are compliant with legal requirements. And as I explained to Monica's group when we met in early March, you know, to be interviewed, these plans, these qualified plans, have a lot of rules that relate to them. And Congress requires that these rules be followed because Congress loses a lot of tax revenue when from private sector companies. When the employer gets the deduction, when the contribution goes in, it earns tax-free while it's in this plan, and the employees aren't taxed until the money comes out. So what Congress requires, it requires that very specific rules be followed. And you have to follow those rules in operation, and you also have to follow those rules in terms of the rules must be properly written into the plan, and they must be properly written into the plan on time, and you have to follow the rules. So when the way you know whether you've got your rules properly written into the plan on a timely basis is employers are permitted to apply to the IRS for a determination letter on these plans. And this retirement plan that we're dealing with received a favorable determination letter from the IRS in 2002, which has been a while. And so when we came, we were a little concerned that the amendments since 02 had been made on a timely basis and had been properly made. And we have not completed our review of these documents yet, but we're encouraged by what we see in terms of deadlines having been met. The IRS has this system now in place where they call it a five-year rolling remedial amendment period, where they don't want to be, the IRS doesn't want to be hit with determination letter requests every time you make an amendment. So instead, they say you make your amendments on a timely basis, and you give them to us once every 5 years, and we're going to rule on them once every 5 years. And in the case of governmental plans such as yours, we're in the 12-month cycle where these amendments need to be submitted, and the deadline for submitting those is the end of January 2011. So the steps that we are going to take here is we're going to review the documents, see that everything's in place, and I have another lawyer in my office. The IRS does a cumulative list of what they want in all these plans, and she has gone through this list and has been checking off, do these plans have it? And we're encouraged by that. There are laws that have been passed since your plans were amended, and some of these laws, the deadline for doing the amendment is not for a couple of years. You have to operate under the new law, for example, the Pension Protection Act, but you don't have to have it written into your plan yet. However, when you terminate a plan, you have to have everything you fast forward the deadline for amending. So as part of our project, we will go on, and we must go on, when we're going to split apart under the retirement plan, we're going to split apart the defined benefit plan part of that and the defined contribution plan part of that, and take action to terminate the defined contribution part of that. So because we're terminating this, we're going to have to fast forward the deadline for some of these amendments and get them in. You might ask, why not terminate both of these elements? And the reason to not terminate the defined benefit element of this is that you would have to come up out of pocket with enough money to fund it to cover all the benefits right now, even those that are, you know, paid to John beginning 15 years from now when he becomes 65. And the way you would have, if you terminated it, basically you would buy annuities for people. And in this market where the interest rates are low, the annuity prices are high, and this would not be a good time, even if you wanted eventually to terminate that defined benefit plan, to do that. So we will come to you or send through your group a resolution that says, you know, we amend the plan as necessary. We authorize your HR group to amend the plan to satisfy legal requirements and to take actions that the IRS may require in connection with the termination and the amendment and the determination letters. We okay the splitting of these plans, and we okay the termination of the defined contribution part of this plan, and we authorize the distribution of plan assets from the defined contribution part of the plan upon receipt of the favorable determination letter from the IRS. So the prudent way to do this is you get the amendments done, you submit it to the IRS, you make sure you get their blessing before you make the distributions out of the plan. The reason for that is you want the employees to be able to do rollovers and not have to pay tax right away, and not have to pay an annual 10% penalty tax if they roll over to an IRA that they're not supposed to. Sure.
Yeah, when you make the request for the determination letter, what is your, we're doing one, right? Well, we've done one. What is your experience in timing of receiving a termination?
You just never know.
Ours is over a year already.
And sometimes it's over a year. Sometimes it's over a year.
It may take a really long time for the
it
to
could
get
take
that determination.
A good while.
Because they're backed up.
That's true.
Just wanted to say that to me.
Yeah.
May take a long time.
Yeah, I understand. Does it go faster if you're not private, if you're governmental entity? Do they?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So we want to, from past experience, we want to kind of control employee expectations, because once they understand that we're going to terminate the defined contribution plan, and we give them a notice that we're submitting it to the IRS for approval, and they can make comments, you know, up to 60 days from now. They're going to go, oh, good, the 60 days is over, and I'm going to get my money on the 61st day. That is not the way it works. So one kind of practical issue here is we need to control employee expectations on when the money comes out. During the IRS determination process, they may come back to us and say, we want to tinker with this language a little bit, or we want to tinker with this language a little bit. We'll do whatever they ask, because most likely it's not a substantive thing that's going to cost you any money. It's a lot of form over substance. I don't expect at this point that we've got any past due deadlines, but we're going to kind of look into that further. Okay, so we get the determination letter from the IRS, and we get the IRS blessing. At that point, we're free to distribute the assets. And there are a number of ways to distribute the assets. The way that the employees would like the most, and the way that I understand it, we're headed in this direction, and this was our marching orders, is that you can distribute the assets to the employees. And the employees can, they have to consent to the distribution of the asset if it's more than, I think, $5,000. And because you have another 401A qualified plan, you're not able to force them out. So most of the employees, when you write and say, we're ready to distribute the assets, here are your distribution election forms. If it's over $5,000, you need to sign this distribution election form and consent to the distribution. You're going to get most of those election forms back. And in the election forms, the employee can elect, number one, to roll his money over to the 401A plan that you control, that you have, that's separate from this. Number two, to roll this money over to an IRA or something similar to that. Or number three, to receive a check for his money and to pay tax on it right now. And if he's under 59 and a half, to pay a 10% premature distribution tax. And you would, the Brazos River Authority would withhold taxes on the distributions.
I think we're under a little time constraint now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And but we appreciate all the detailed information. It's a lot clearer to me now than it has been in the past. So thank you for your report. Does anyone have any questions right now? Then we'll have Ms. Martin back.
Yes. Okay. I'm happy. Back, and Monica knows how to get in touch, so if you have any questions, feel free to call.
Thank you.
It's not thank you very much. I appreciate working with you.